If you're going to listen to 1 week, if you're going to give me 1 week to pay attention, I don't care if you don't listen for the rest of the year. Listen today. Listen carefully. Now, this doesn't apply to Chris. You know, Chris, listen to Chris all the time. But if this is it, if you've got one Sunday to give, give me today. Listen carefully. Take it seriously. And walk out and decide to do something about it. Today we're talking about the value, one of our core values of mission. And it's fitting that it goes at the end because I feel like all the other four kind of culminate and add to and make mission a possibility. And I'll get to why. I want to start with a story. It's, you know, happens fairly often in my household, so you may have heard it before or something like it. But fairly recently, this happened. And I try to get my kids involved in the things I do. They both like to help daddy out. And I don't remember exactly if this is exactly how it went down, but it was pretty close to this scenario because it happens quite a bit. I get one of them involved in a project and the other wants in. So it was something like this. I was downstairs in the basement. We were painting trim. Or not really, we're priming trim. Trim had to be primed. Haley's helped me with this job in the past, you know, and as you can imagine, if I were to get Maya involved in it, Maya doesn't get quite as much, being a little bit younger, she doesn't get quite as much of that, you know, help daddy on his mission time. So, I've got Maya down, and if you were to give Maya that paintbrush, you would see instantly, if she were to dip it in that primer and she's painting away, just like anything, she's doing it right now, drawing, coloring, this joy, this life will come into, I'm sorry, I didn't know you guys were going to be up here, I don't mean to embarrass you, but it's a good story, so I got to tell it. Life would come in, you know, anything where she's taking a blank, you know, paper, canvas, piece of wood and adding color or something to it is like, brings joy in such a way. Now, if that's a scenario, you can imagine Haley walking into that. And Haley's done it before. And to Haley, this is her job. Helping daddy, you know, using tools or something, you know, like this, that's her job. And so something like, you know, if she were to come down the stairs and look and she sees Maya participating and she can quickly judge how, you know, how much time that Maya's been spending on it and decides that it's now my turn. Give me the brush, it's my turn. And this is inevitably what, you know, what will come out of, if the scenario was reversed, it would pretty much play out the exact same way, but there would be there's a very loud and forceful no. Daddy gave me this brush. Daddy gave me this job. It's mine. Get your own. Get your own job. And Maya, in these situations, she has this intense look. It would be a slow and forceful no, get your own. As if to say, if you want this brush, you're going to have to kill me. Because you will pry this brush out of my cold, dead hands. And Haley's willing to go pretty far, but not that far. So she looks up at Daddy in these situations and is like, with this desperate longing and need to participate, can I get my own brush? Can I get my own job? And Haley is, she's 9 years old, and she's just, well, not quite yet, right? Almost nine. And she is always ready and willing to be in on whatever mission Daddy has for the day. It doesn't matter if I'm going to the grocery store, painting trim, or, you know, have to plunge a stopped up stinky toilet. Haley will want to be in with Daddy, in on this mission, with joy and a smile and a, how can I help? I want to participate. And Haley, just so you know, your attitude and the way that you go about this this desire and participation in your life is a constant reminder to me of what my primary job should be and the attitude that I should adopt while getting it done. You see, I don't see my primary job or role as a pastor or, you know, a church planter. I do not see it as somehow my primary responsibility to build this church, to work, to build this organization called the church. My job, as I see it, is to pick up my paintbrush, as it were, and get to work on my Father's mission. And I think that, you know, in my role at the branch, it's a big part of my job is to pick up more paintbrushes and shove them in your hands and say, you know, enabling you to get participating and getting involved in God's mission, whatever that may be. A lot of folks, a lot of peers, and I've even been this way. I think I bought into this, you know, for quite a while in my life. In North America and churches around here, we see our primary responsibility is to somehow build Christ's church, to build it up. We may call it the kingdom, we may call it, you know, but it's to work to build the church and program and numbers and growth. And because it goes like this, the formula, you know, works out something like this. We build up the church in different shapes and sizes. And if we build them big enough and fast enough and often enough, we will eventually reach the whole world. Another well-known pastor that I know, he says it like this. He's famous for saying that the local church is the hope of the world. Really? Is that right? The local church, the hope of the world? I mean, I know what he's getting at. And it, you know, it touched my heart, you know, like the first conference I heard that proclaimed, you know, I was like, I'm a part of the local church. Whew. This should be fun. See, the formula in something like that works like this. Is that God sent his son to live and die and rescue the world from itself. And then Christ sent his disciples out to build his church. And this church in all its many forms and, you know, in all its many, you know, looks and shapes and sizes, it has this mission to go and save the world. The problem is, if we think about it this way, and it's very tempting, it's very sort of easy way to think about it that's very, very close to the truth. If we think about it this way, we are likely to get our priorities all out of whack. We are much more likely to turn our efforts and our energies inwards towards buildings and structures and power structures and potlucks and programs, none of which are bad. I love meal night. It's great. It's just a matter of priorities and how much we put our time, energy, and resources and what we put it towards, when and why and all that. So I want to suggest a different formula. Not that the church exists and that we help build it and the church has this thing called a mission. You listening? I still got you? Is our bargain good? Different formula. Not that the church exists and that we help build it and that the church has this thing called a mission. I want to take it and flip it around. You see, God sent God's Son into the world to rescue creation. And Jesus ushered in this thing called the kingdom of God. And he sent his disciples out on a mission to tell the whole world, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to make more disciples who would also be sent out into the world. So it's not that there's this thing called the church and the church has a mission. It's that there's this thing. It's that God has a mission. And God's mission just happens to have a church. They go hand in hand. You cannot separate one from the other, and nor should we try. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to dismiss the church, our gathering, our community, life transformation. I'm not trying to dismiss any of that as unimportant. What I'm saying is the church does not go forth and create mission wherever it goes. It's that the mission, the wind, the spirit, the wind of mission goes forth. It's sent out into the world, and wherever it touches, community is formed. Church is formed. So it's not that the church exists and it has a mission. The mission is the thing, and it just happens to have a church. It's just about getting our priorities right. It's not an easy thing. For instance, here at the branch, if you're a partner, if a covenant partner, even if you're not, it doesn't really matter. If you want, we're going to be invited to stick around after. Chris is back there. It kind of does, I think. I don't know. You're going to be invited to stick around for a vote after. All right? And who's going to be the next steward? And, you know, this process, it may, you know, it may be a prize, or it may, you know, feel like it was, you know, hidden or something like that. But the truth is, we're just trying to, you know, get it done with the minimum amount of fuss and politicking and effort and resources as we possibly can. Because if it was up to me, we'd just take everyone willing and able, put their name in a hat, and just pick it out. You three, you're the next three. Because the stewards, I mean, let's face it. If we are living our values and we've turned them into action, each one of us, so that community is thriving and transformation is happening, and we're learning how to translate the gospel into culture, and we're on mission, and all these things are happening, then the stewards don't have much to do. They're just paying a few bills and telling me how far I can go without getting fired. That's it. So you three, you're up. Now the truth is, they have lots to do because we're all imperfect, and I have watched, you know, people with the bare, you know, essentials of giftedness and a willing heart be turned into, you know, what I would be like, a super steward. I mean, it's just, I trust you and I trust God's Spirit. And so to heck with, you know, all these, you know, rules and rights, and, you know, if it was up to me, that just pull names out of a hat. You're willing and able. You're called to do it. But our tribe says we can't do it that way, and that's probably why I want to do it that way. But so we came up with as minimum amount of fuss as we possibly can. Because I do not want to spend 1 ounce more than is necessary to run this place. Not one more ounce of energy than is necessary. I would much rather be out there where I am sent on God's mission. I would much rather be spending time with Aaron or Terry or Mark. These people I have intentional, real relationships that I'm desperately trying to love and communicate with. And explain the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to. Eventually invite him into this thing that I think runs just fine without me struggling for power or me playing politic games or anyone else. Jesus' last words to his gathered disciples were this. Jesus came to his disciples. He said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So we don't have any anyway. Stop fighting over what you think is power. I mean, that's all useless anyways, right? God, you know, Jesus says, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus sent out his disciples to make more disciples who would do the exact same thing. And we, you and I, we are the results of those efforts. If you are here this morning and you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus, then one thing is certain. One thing. You are sent into that world out there. And that world desperately needs for you to see yourself as sent on God's mission of rescue and reconciliation, because it is a broken place filled with pain and suffering, but also distraction and entertainment and pleasure and everything you could possibly imagine to take our attention away from the fact that very, very little has experienced restoration and reconciliation to a creator that is longs to embrace with love and healing. So what does it look like for you? What does it look like for you to take this value that we hang up on a wall and internalize it, turning it into action, things that you do when you leave here? I don't know exactly how you are wired or where you are sent, but I do know this. It's going to take at least one thing. All of us can share this common action, because it's going to take intentional relationship. The days of scattering the good news like a shotgun blast to the world around us are long gone. We live in a world, in a society, in a culture where every person you could go down, knock door to door to door, lives in their own cultural bubble, their own worldview, their own. It's a massively pluralistic society, and you have to get to know someone in order to explain the good news, be a loving presence. And yes, reason, if that's what it takes, to communicate that there is a creator who loves and longs to embrace. There's a list, I think, got passed out, list of missional opportunities. I have one, yes. Just thinking ahead. You know, there's things that might fit you, maybe not, you know. The Create team, we use our giftedness to try to reach families in our neighborhood. Seems like a great way to get to know people and love on them. The DeYoung family, church in Alger Heights, you know, you can read. I'm not going to go through. Maybe none of those fit the way you're wired. I don't know who you are or where you're sent to. But I also know this. If you don't pick something, if you don't get intentional about something, whether it's simply having a barbecue in your backyard and inviting the neighbor that's right next door, or brewing a couple pots of coffee and inviting the people that you just live around you but you've never really gotten to know, and so you welcome them into your house and share a pot of coffee. I know Chris and his family, they initialize, they're the trigger for like block parties, food and ice cream. Just put them out on tables. You don't have to go to anyone's house. It's not very, you know, it's just like close down the street, put tables in the road. It's about as neutral as you can get, the road in between all our houses, right? You know, get involved in some way that the branch is trying to be a loving presence in our neighborhood. You have to get intentional about something. Because I'll tell you this, if you don't, someone or something else will. Just like Haley is always there, ready and willing to take over from Maya if she chooses to put that brush down. Or that tool down, or whatever it is. Jesus, just like Jesus said to the Pharisees in Luke, when the Pharisees were getting upset because the crowd was calling Jesus Lord, the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Would you stop them from doing that?" Almost because I read in between the lines there, it's almost like, you're not Lord, and besides, it's our job to tell them who is and how to praise him. So would you put an end to this, please? And Jesus says back, if they kept quiet, if they did not praise, if they did not cheer, if they did not celebrate and call me Lord, then the stones along the side of the road would burst out into praise. If you put down your brush, so to speak, or worse, if you've never picked it up and you determine not to, then someone or something will take your place. God's mission will be fulfilled one way or another, with you or without you. Time and time again, this idea, this truth throughout the Old Testament of the glory of God, slowly but with purpose and without fail, the glory of God will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. God's mission will be fulfilled one way or the other. And I, for one, am going to pick up my brush and I am going to be a part of it, because I will be buggered if I'm going to let some stones on the side of the road get to participate without me. So in case I was unclear, I am begging you, I implore you, there is this thing called God's mission. Our Father, our Creator in heaven, has a mission to bring love and reconciliation and all creation into rights. And you and I are invited to be a part of it. Not forced labor, it's your choice, but I'm begging you, figure out what your brush is, where you're sent and what it looks like and how you're wired, whether it's a brush or a hammer or a pen or a website or a cup of coffee or a barbecue. I don't know what it is, but pick it up and participate in the mission of God. That's how we turn core values, these things that makes sense, that we can read directly from the Bible, these things that we think God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit care about very much, and make them real in our lives when we leave here. And it takes all of them together. It takes a life transformed. And it takes a knowledge of culture and contextualization in a community, in all of our values, working together creatively to be about our Creator's mission. As we bring this series to a close, I invite you to just, you can look up at the ceiling, you can bow your head, you can do whatever, you close your eyes, but pray with me that as we leave from this gathering where we are enabled and equipped and you know, community happens and our lives are hopefully transformed, that as we leave, we don't just leave with the knowledge, but we pick up determined action. Jesus, we desire to learn from you. not just believe, accept, but to follow in your footsteps, in the footsteps of your disciples. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in our hearts, in our minds, in our very lives to teach us. The actions that we need to pick up, that we need to integrate into our lives so that wisdom and knowledge and truth from your word become powerful, living, and active in our lives and the world around us. That is our prayer, Jesus. Amen.